Yo, I put it like wow, this that sound. These oaks don't work hard like me, I hope they know by now. Bayo Bear, stand my ground. Throw these money trees, go overseas like Percy Tau. I make sure you stay around, quiet when I'm under loud. No negatives allowed, me positivity took a vow. I always play to win, don't anticipate loss. Mind always in the cloud, my boy, never think about the drop. Never ever ever think about the drop.
Welcome to it, sports fans. It is the MKT show. I am MKT, and we are back slash not back. So you may have noticed the show came back on video. If you don't subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Boring story, but if people say the studio is ready and you've already paid them, usually it means the studio is not ready. Not even sure we're going to be able to use that studio. And then you say, can I have my money back? You guys haven't even done the stuff that you said you'd done before the studio. Wasn't it ready? And then it's not ready now. It's even gone backwards. And you haven't done anything. So now I have to find a new studio. So that was my whole last week, which is why there wasn't a podcast. I was busy wrestling with humans. I mean, nobody cares about this. You know, nobody cares. I'm not saying it so that people feel sorry for me. I'm just saying it so that people go, oh, that's where you were when you promised you wouldn't go off the podcast again. So we're trying to find a new studio. That's what's going on right now. It's a bit of a scramble, you know. We're an SMME. Can't just wrangle together our shillings to just buy another studio. But we move on. We move on. Hope you've had a good weekend. Hope you've had a good weekend, week, day, wherever you are. It's, getting cold where I am. Not that it matters, because you could be in Azerbaijan and you don't care. And you don't care. Podcasting. All right, what are we talking about today? I'll tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. Real Madrid win their 15th UEFA Champions League. Talk about Kylian Mbappe. Here we go. From Fabrizio Romano. Good or bad move. And then Jose Mourinho goes to Fenerbahce. However you say it. Not Turkish. Not one of the Turkmen. You know. So I don't know how to say it. Give you my thoughts on that. Jose Mourinho in Turkey. You bunch of turkeys. A few things going on in the world of sport. By the way, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We will be back at some stage. You know, I'm tired of making promises and not delivering on them. It's the opposite of who I want to be. We'll be back at some stage before the Premier League season next year. We've got to find a studio and then actually turn it into a studio, which takes a little longer than people think. People think you can just record anywhere. No, sir. You cannot just do that. Anywho, couple of things I don't care about that are going on right now in sport. Cricket World Cup started today, T20. Didn't even know about that. Because I don't watch T20 cricket and it's terribly boring. Who cares? Who likes it? I still haven't had anybody of the 6,000 people that usually listen to the podcast write in and say, I like T20 cricket. My thing is, just get a bowling machine. Just get a bowling machine and let guys just hit like the home run derby. And even then, the home run derby is getting guys to pitch. But you know what I mean. It's not a fair contest between bat and ball. It's not a fair contest. The bats are too good. The stadiums are too small. I can't imagine the stadiums will be small in America. Big arenas in America. Huge. El Grande in America. So T20 cricket. The other thing that's happened, like I was scrolling through, I think, Sky Sports News, sort of thinking, what should I talk about on the show? Just checking up, I haven't missed anything. It's the quarterfinals of Roland Garros already. I do not care. And I'm tennis guy. Like, my dad's a huge tennis guy. I grew up tennis guy. Like, I'm going to watch the majors. But I just think, without Rafa and Roger, I'm turned off by Novak. So I don't follow Novak as brilliant as he is. He's the greatest tennis player of all time. But I was like, Roger and Rafa are the, you know, sort of yin and yang, with Rafa's high energy, sort of Latin style, you know? And then Roger with your Swiss, I'm boring, I've got no personality. I see myself more in Roger. Also South African, you know what I mean? Born in South Africa. Gotta claim it. In this economic climate, you gotta claim it. Gotta claim Roger Federer. But they're gone now. So what it tells me is the real rivalry was those two, and the third guy was Novak. Even though Novak, it turns out, is better than both of them, which he is, whether you like him or not. Men lie, women lie, the numbers, they don't lie. He has the most majors. That's how we measure in tennis. It's not like that in golf, by the way. Golf is not a majors thing, but different story. For me, what it tells me is Novak's not a pull. He just isn't. And you know what I think it is? He's difficult culturally to mesh with. Now, I used to hug a Serbian girl. And Serbs are very different to the entire world. They've got a chip on their shoulder at all times because of their history. You know, it's a very complicated part of the world. They always feel like they got shortchanged, obviously, in the sort of Bosnian split. For those who don't know, you know, it was sort of Bosnia, and I think, I don't know how you said it, Herzegovina, but in that whole split, you know, Serbia don't feel like, as Serbians, they were done right. And they feel like the East and the West let them down. And they've always felt as Slavs, you know, that even in the USSR, they were always othered, you know. So Serbians have a very unique position in the world. So there's a certain way about them. And it can be off-putting if misunderstood. And you're not very often going to be lukewarm about a Serbian person because they're going to be in your face, right? They are going to be in your face just because of how they are raised, you know, nurtured. It's always them against us. And it's us is the tiny, you know, Serbian nation. Remember, Serbia just got split from sort of Bosnia and now Bosnia-Herzegovina. It's a mess. And perpetual war in that area. So, listen, nice place. I've been there. Good place. Good-looking women. Weird-looking men is what I'd say about Serbia. Strange. So Novak is that. He's like a woe always me guy, you know? I ain't doing it. And I get the Serbian mentality. Like I say, for about 6 months, I used to hug with a Serbian girl. I get it. I get what's cooking. They're going to bring guns to weddings, by the way. Real story. And they're going to shoot them in public. They are not scared. In suburbia. This was in Johannesburg suburbia. Went to a wedding. In the north of Johannesburg, this person's family had AK-47s at a wedding. Just shot them in the air. Could have killed the baby next door. They don't care. Anywho, you know, Serbians, something else. Anyway, Novak's not the draw. And it's clear now. Unless I'm wrong, but I just do not care about tennis anymore. Like, I'll check it every now and then. I kind of know who's who, you know. But I'm not into it anymore. So I don't know if they've lost me, and maybe I'm a tennis casual. Like, I used to think I'm into tennis. But as soon as Roger left, they lost me, and then now Rafa's clearly gone, first round loss. And by the way, what are we doing there? Let him be seeded. Why would you make him play Zverev in the first round? He should be seeded. He's the greatest clay court player of all time. What are we doing? Like, you can manipulate the draw. You can manipulate the draw. Stop with the nonsense. It's like, it's a TV show. We're not saying manipulate the whole draw. We're saying for the greatest player of all time, make an exception and make sure that he's seeded. Like, people will understand. And if people don't understand, here's what my mother used to say. I'm going to treat you equally, but not the same. She used to say to my sister, you know, because I'm the firstborn son, is I'm going to treat you equally, but not the same. My oldest son is going to get better treatment. That's just how it goes. Treat you equally, but not the same. Like, Rafa should get better treatment than anyone else, and particularly at Roland Garros. Like, if there's one guy where the rules don't apply to everyone, like, even in democracy, they don't and they shouldn't. Like, the people who started Microsoft, right? Bill Gates and who's the owner of the paperclips in LA, Steve Ballmer, right? Like, the world should treat them better than most of us. Like, let them get away with a few things. Not the Epstein thing, but you get what I mean. Although, they're going to get away with the Epstein thing because they are billionaires. And to some extent, rightfully so. Like, Bill Gates has done more for mankind than maybe anyone in the history of mankind. Making technology accessible to the masses. Like, let him get away with stuff. Maybe not the Epstein thing, though. Which he's allegedly, according to The Simpsons, he was there as well. So, I don't know what's going on there. His wife got, like, so many billions. No, nobody should get that much money in a divorce. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that. I don't even know where I was going with that. I don't know how Epstein Island came up. I don't even know. I mean, this is being recorded on a Windows machine, so probably going back to Bill Gates. Anyway, society's not fair. Boo-hoo. It shouldn't be fair. Sorry. I hate nothing more than people that say, it's not fair. Oh my God. Oh my God. What are you talking about? Life's not fair. Fairness is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard in the world. I don't want fairness. I don't believe in fairness. I've never believed in it. Some people are born tall, short, thin, fat. Like the world is not fair. Sorry. Sorry that your feelings weren't thought about, you know, when you popped out of the womb. Sorry. Sorry that the whole world's not centered around your feelings. Oh, my goodness. So the world is not fair. Rafa Nadal should be seated at Roland Garros until he dies. It's ridiculous. And it's basically his last one. He's gone now. It's a TV show. It's not a sport. Stop teaching life lessons at the elite level. There are no life lessons at Roland Garros. I'm sorry. It is a TV show. Rolex don't pay for Zverev to be on TV. They pay for Rafa Nadal and Novak Djokovic. Sorry. Soz. That's what matters. The money. Ridiculous. Anyway, quarterfinals. Who cares? Alcaraz. Is Alcaraz going to win it? I don't even know now. It's probably going to be what? Alcaraz versus Djokovic in the final? I don't care. I do not care. Do you care? Am I an old guy? Like, if you're a tennis fan, if you're a tennis fan between the ages of 20 and 28, do you care about Roland Garros? And I mean, are you like a proper tennis fan? Like, do you know who Stefan Edberg is? Okay, might be a bit young for that. Like, do you know Pete Sampras is? If you know who Pete Sampras, Andre Agassi, and Monica Seles are, do you care about Roland Garros this year? I'm sorry, I'm out. Which is weird for me. Very weird. Life's not fair. Who knew? T20 cricket quarterfinal of Roland Garros. Who would have thought? You know, if you knew me when I was young, my mum was telling me a story the other day. Old mumsy. Not the other day. Like, I don't know. A long, long time ago. How I would walk in my house. And my dad is a no-nonsense person. And my aunt and people would be around. And she told the story where I would come in and interrupt the elders watching whatever. And I would say, there's important things going on here. And I was like 6, 7 years old and changed to the cricket. And my dad is like a serious no-nonsense guy. But when the Proteas were on, I would be, you know, rambunctious to say the least. And nobody's changing the Proteas when I was young. Like, and now I just could not... You could not get me to a television. I don't even know. I honestly, I don't even know who's in the Proteas squad. I don't. I don't care. I don't. And sport, by the way, now that knowing this stuff is how I make a living now. And I could not care less. Your thoughts? T20 cricket, Roland Garros at MKT Inspires. Slide in the DMs. You know, it's crazy that happened. It's not that crazy, though. It's not that crazy. But it's crazy that it's actually happening, you know? It's kind of like, I don't know if you've had a situation where, like, you know your relationship's on the rocks. And you're like, you know your partner is going to break up with you. But then they actually break up with you. You know, like, you know it's going to happen, but then it actually happens. You're like, oh my goodness. And you shouldn't be shocked. Like, you know, you knew it was going to happen. Like, you've seen it. It's 6 months. She's drifting. Maybe you aren't doing more. There's no more cuddle times. I don't know how people tell. I don't know how people tell. Right. But you know when it's over. But when it actually happens, it still affects you. Even though you 100% saw it coming. Like, you know, you kind of saw less hoodie, less of her clothes in the cupboard. She's clearly been moving her stuff out slowly or whatever. I would imagine. I don't know. I've never lived with my girlfriend when we broke up. Anyway. The Rebels, Melbourne Rebels, mate, are going bust now. And they've gone broke. And, you know, I remember when they added them. I remember when rugby went from Super 10, because I'm old, to Super 12. And then it was like, oh, this is perfect. Because South Africa at the time had 6 Currie Cup teams. So it was strength versus strength. It worked perfectly. It was like rugby was just phenomenal at that time. It was humming. It was perfect. Super 12 was perfect. Like 6 home games, 6 away games, and then you top 4, semi-final, final. You know? Like it was perfect. And then they went to Super 15, and that's where things went awry. Do you remember the 1 year, like the Sharks actually qualified, but because there were already too many South African teams and all some stupid thing, like it was so complicated. I'm like, I'm a hardcore rugby fan. If I have to work hard, you're losing the casual. And newsflash, 5% of sports fans are hardcores. Everybody else is casuals. Don't make it hard for the consumer. People have too many options now. It's the beauty of the NFL. It's the beauty of the Premier League. It's clear who you play, when you play them, home, away. Whoever wins, wins. Super Rugby was a mess. And it was already layered with, it's unfair that South Africa has to travel so far. So there was always that, you know? And New Zealand's a small market. And Australia don't care about rugby. So in an already rugby-starved country that don't care about it, where rugby union, depending on the reports you read, is somewhere between 4th and 7th on their priority list in Australia, why are you adding another team? Because already Australia's best athletes don't play rugby union. Right? They're playing rugby league and footy, mate. Aussie rules. So you're already getting maybe the 5th, 6th best athletes in a tiny sport by their measure, and you add another team. So all you're doing is diminishing, right, an already crap talent pool. You're just diluting a crap talent pool already. Because you remember when Australia were humming, they only really had 3 teams, 4 teams. Right? You knew what time it was. It was the Brumbies, it was the Reds, it was the Tars. Oh, there was 3 teams, yeah. It was 3 teams back then. Right? Australia don't need more than 3 teams. I think that's right, right? It's the Brumbies, the Tars, New South Wales, mate. Brumbies, Tars, Reds. And now, who do they have? It's the Melbourne Rebels. And, oh, Perth. Remember, they added the Force. Yeah, so back in the day, it was three teams. Perfect. Now you know your best rugby players are in the teams. And then they added two teams. Yes, Australia added two teams. The Force and the Rebels. Now Rebels have gone bust. South Africa did well to get out of there. There's something humming now with the New Zealand rugby players trying to put together a union vibe. That's not good. I saw Ma Anonu the other day saying South Africa got it lucky, because I think those, you know, he's a legend. There's probably players talking to him and there's some concerns from the inside that the money is drying up. Because New Zealand's too small of a market and both of those countries are just too far out of the way. They are too far out of the way. So, like, a large majority of the rugby watching world can't watch those competitions. Fiji is a, like, those countries are the Polynesian countries economically are a joke. They produce fantastic rugby players, but they are not a consumption economy. Sorry, they are not sophisticated economies. You cannot build around Fiji and Samoa. Like, those countries are living off UN funding. Sorry. Like, it just is what it is. I'm not building the African champ. I'm not hoping the African Champions League is going to be built around the Congo. Sorry. Like, it's a non-existent economy. It's probably the poorest economy in the world. Eritrea. Like, sorry. Like, I live in Africa. You're not going to shock me with poverty. It just is what it is. Sorry, Fiji. Sorry, Samoa. Sorry, Tonga. Those countries are not economic powerhouses. In fact, they can't survive without the support of the New Zealand Rugby Union and World Rugby. They're constantly crying out. So Australia don't care about rugby. And we've seen what's been happening to Australian rugby in the last 5 years. They had a goth woman as their bloody head of rugby. Not anymore, though. They got the big boys back now. Dan Herbert, mate. They got Dan Herbert in charge. Joe Roth. So I don't know if that's good for rugby, but the Rebels have gone bust. And it makes all the sense in the world. The Force will be next. It's going to happen. It's going to happen because they've lost the biggest consumption market for rugby, South Africa. So as they got arrogant and thought, oh, kick these guys out. Oh, well, now you've lost the biggest market because South Africa has 70 million people that consume. So of that, probably 25 million consume rugby. Eyeballs, mate. So there it is. Rebels gone past. I'm not shocked. I'm happy it happened because they got greedy. They got greedy. And I've said this before. The problem for rugby is that international rugby is actually the best version of it. Where they went wrong was not applying the European model here. I've always, always said, like, why can't they just make it? Like, I would have loved to see Scott Berger playing for the Crusaders. Why didn't that exist then? They should have turned it into the Premier League of rugby. Seriously. Like, why didn't that happen? Early as well. Like, when Super 12 was humming, great. Let's open it up. Let's make this thing a proper rugby tournament. And, by the way, let's create a funding pool where you've got to get private equity, right? Private ownership, like the NFL. And let's get the billions in here. But no, rugby stuck to its traditions and it's still union-owned in every country. It's absolutely ridiculous. And now you got to sell Springboks and New Zealand's rugby brands to American investment firms. Like, hysterical. These are countries. I don't know. Have you seen this deal? Especially the All Blacks. They're like 50% owned by like a hedge fund. Their rights. It's a country. Rugby's administration is such a joke at the global level. World rugby is a joke. But now Australian rugby is a joke. It's hysterical. The Rebels have gone bust. It's over. But good. Good. This is good. Next, the Force must go. Let's get back to three in Australia. Strength versus strength. But ultimately, what does this mean for next year? Because a little team called the British and Irish Lions. And I think this will be better. Because it'll concentrate the talent. All the players from the Rebels. Kick off the crap talent. This thing of people saying, woe is me, what a rugby player is going to do. Go and get a real job if you're not good enough to play at the top. And also, rugby is global now. Go play in America. Go play in Japan. There's lots of opportunities for these guys to make money. And also, you live in a nanny state, for crying in a bucket. Australia will look after their citizens. If you're Australian, you'll be fine. Oh, boo-hoo, you don't get to live your dream. What are we talking about? Not everyone gets to live their dream. Sorry. And also, you live in a capitalist country. Sorry. Market forces have acted. I resent how sorry people feel for millionaires. But when people get fired from a mining job, people go, oh, well, market forces. And I'm 38 years old. I value sportsmen way too highly. I'm the guy people go, oh, what a knucklehead. Yes. Yes. I value sportsmen as my favorite people in the world. I do. And I'm not shy about that. I put them above everyone. In my valuation, I'm not saying objectively they are more valuable than everyone else. I venerate sportsmen way too highly. I'm very, very aware of that. Which is why I don't mind being critical of them. Sorry, you can't play rugby for a living. Go and work in an insurance company. There we go. Welcome to the real world. What people have to do. Oh my God. The crying by sportsmen and women is so disgusting. Like, so you don't get to live your dream out. Okay, well, 99% of the world. Sorry. What are we digging with you? What's happening? Am I losing my mind? What are we talking about? Good. It's good that the rivals are shutting down. Next, the force must shut down, and it'll be good for the rest of rugby. Watch Australia be good by the time the World Cup comes around. Because now you can take, let's say there's, I don't even know the Rebels players. I don't watch Super Rugby anymore. It's terrible. Take the three good Rebels players and then put them at the Waratahs or wherever, you know. And then when the force shuts down, put those players in, you know, take the six or seven players that are good enough and spread them amongst everywhere else. And then we concentrate the talent in the three ACT, mate. ACT, the Reds. And then we do our thing. The Tars, mate. New South Wales. Then we're playing rugby, mate. Footy. Oh, Union. Rebels go bust. Bloody fantastic. I'm happy. You know who the winners are here? The fans. Sick of crap rugby being allowed on TV. Australia doesn't have enough talent for five teams. Five. They've got five teams. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Why do Australia have five rugby teams? They don't care about rugby. Also, just shows you, it's not just a South African problem. The market will decide. Everyone slated the Spears, right? Remember? Corruption, whatever. It's like, hey, don't protect them because it's a first world country. Don't do it. Everyone, remember when the Spears went under? And yes, we all said corruption and Cheeky Watson. And we know, well, sorry, this was badly run. They were 25 million Aussie dollars. It's about 18 million US dollars in debt. $18 million. Do you know in rugby how much money that is? Now in football, that's, you know, Vinicius Junior probably earned that on the weekend. But in rugby, to be 18... Do you know how badly you have to be run for a long time to be $18 million US dollars in debt in a first world country? Do you know how badly you have to be run? Like in South Africa, I could see it. Corruption's our thing, right? Like, we're disgustingly corrupt here. Like, it's the only way we now operate. But in Australia. Good. Shut it all down. Shut the nonsense down. Matthew Burke, mate. Oh, yeah, mate. Joe Roth. Daniel Herbert. If you don't know who Daniel Herbert is, if you're young, one of the greatest centres of all time. Daniel Herbert. Go and Google the 1999 World Cup Australia. Oh, my goodness. Australia were humming then. That Gregan, Larkham, Tim Horan at 12, Daniel Herbert at 13. Oh, Ben Chun at right wing. Ben Chun, what a start. Chun. Ben Chun, Australian. Oh, my goodness. Joe Roth, mate. Left winger, Matthew Burke, the head boy at fullback. Oh, what a backline. Oh, what a time to be alive when Australia was... They're Australian now. There was China back then. Because Joe Roth was an Australian. Oh, my goodness. Offa Hangawe, Australian. Big Jim Williams, Australian, mate. Oh, what a team. Oh my goodness. Todai Kefu, Australian. Oh my, I mean, their captain was so good. He was so good. They used to call him Mr. Nobody. John Eels. You know why they called him Mr. Nobody? Because nobody's perfect, man. Oh, except him. Mr. Nobody, a lock who could kick. Probably the best line-out jumper of that time before Victor Matfield came along. Nathan Sharp. Oh, my goodness. Mate. Australians. We'll win the Brumbies. Andrew Walker, fullback. Oh, a mouthful of teeth. Andrew Walker, mate. Oh, my goodness. What a time to be alive. Australia need to get back there. Oh, and the Tars had... Remember they had Big Dal Sailor, Wendell Sailor, and Elijah Dakiri at wing. Oh, are you kidding me? It's getting orgasmic now. These are orgasmic memories. Fantastic rugby times. Australia need to get back there. Three rugby teams. That's my point. I mean, I'm making sexual noises here because of Australian rugby. 15 years ago. Go and look up World Cup 99, mate. What a team. What a team. What a backline. That backline I just named. Stephen Larkham. Scrum cap. Oh, Lord have mercy. Heartbreak when they beat us. Yanni De Beer, by the way. Unlucky. Well, what do you get? 5 drop goals. Incredible. Incredible. Stephen Larkham kicks the most ridiculous drop kick against the Springboks you will ever see. The most terribly dropped. Like the way he dropped it and kicked it over was just ridiculous. And we were so good then. We were so good. But that Australian team, they knew what time it was. No one was beating that 99 team. They were just too good. Get back there, Australia. MKT at the MKT Show. Otherwise, MKT Inspires. If you want to get in touch, slide in the DMs. It's at this point I will say, I'm not sure if we're doing a podcast on Thursday because I'm in the middle of trying to find a new studio and my plan was to be going every day now, but I don't know if we can do that because, you know, I've got to move stuff up and down. I'm sick and tired of making promises to people who expect the podcast. You feel me? So follow me on the X machine. That's where I'll make announcements. Otherwise, slide in the DMs. On MKT Inspires. I'm MKT Inspires on Twitter or X and then the gram. Slide in the DMs. What's happening with the podcast? Probably no podcast on Thursday. I don't know yet. To be honest, it's the worst thing you can do in content, but I don't know if there'll be a podcast on Thursday. Trying to get a studio going here. Because the other thing is there's a bit of sponsorship pressure. You know, we're about to get involved with partners. Got to have a studio. Anyway, we will have a studio. Like, this is not a boo-hoo. We'll find a studio and we'll make it happen. But there might not be a podcast again this week. There might be. Look out. No, switch your notifications on, you know? Put your notifications on. We'll be doing some stuff for Euros, by the way. Follow us on TikTok. Follow us on TikTok. News to come there. Euros, Olympics. Am I going to Euros? TBD. The studio situation and amongst other positive things mean Euros is in the air. Olympics is not though. If you're in Paris, see you soon. See you in what? A month and a half. Also, I don't know. When does it start? 26th. Haven't bought my ticket yet, but see you in a month and a half. 26th. See you in that week at some stage. See you in that week at some stage in Gay Paris. In Gay Paris. All right, as I do every Monday, I'll tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. Basically, if you haven't listened to the show, I make calls, you know what I mean? Make some predictions, and sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. Pure humility says you got to be able to tell people when you're right. You got to admit when you're wrong. And it's a humility on a divine level. It's one of my weaknesses. People say I'm too humble. People say you're the most humble person I know. And I say, oh, I couldn't possibly accept that praise. I'm too humble to accept that, but thank you. But I couldn't accept it. You know, Mr. Humility, they call me Mr. Humility. All right, let's get into it. Where I was right, Erling Haaland gets the gold boot. He's the best on earth right now. There's nothing like him. He's the most complete number 9 in the world. technically sublime, physically sublime, the pace, the power. You can't have anything else. He's not Didier Drogba, but he's certainly, you know, he's a wunderkind. At this age, to be this good, he will be Drogba at some stage. He's a one-man wrecking ball. He's a one-man wrecking ball. And I know a lot of people say he can't play outside the box. You don't need to. You know, the better you are, the higher up the field you play. Erling Haaland, he's the best. He's the best in the world. Should have won the Ballon d'Or last year. Absolutely hysterical that he didn't. I mean, Leo Messi, fine. I can accept him. I still think Erling Haaland should win the Ballon d'Or this year. He won't. Vinicius will. But he's the best on earth. Erling Haaland, the only generational talent alive today. There is no one like him. That's where I was right. Erling Haaland wins the Golden Boot in the English Premier League 2 seasons in a row. Where I was wrong, Maurizio Pochettino is sacked. Won his last 5 games. Lost 1 in 15 of his last 15 games in the English Premier League. But it wasn't enough. And I went back and forth about him getting fired and staying. I was wrong, though. I thought the turnaround might be enough. I thought Chelsea might want to settle down, but it clearly wasn't enough. And quite frankly, saw it coming. I always say a 9 should never marry a 6. Chelsea should be nowhere near Mauricio Pochettino. Nowhere near Mauricio Pochettino. If you're going to do it, do the Arsenal way. Go and get a guy starting out. They've got Enzo Maresca in now. I'm still shocked that they let him go. I thought they'd want stability. Pochettino sacked. No, it'd be crocodile tears if I said I was sad. Where I was right, Arsenal trophyless again. Is there a bigger hype club than the slot? Like, I don't do well tried. Sorry, well tried is for your mommy and your girlfriend or your wife. You tried, honey bun. No. We don't do that yet. No life lessons in the English Premier League. They've won. Arteta's got 1 title in 5 years. They treat this guy like he's Jesus Christ turning water into wine. He dyes his hair, by the way. Arsenal, trophyless again. Bunch of losers. I can't stand them. I cannot stand Arsenal fans. And I was right. I said Arsenal go trophyless again. Here we go. Why didn't they take photographs at the end? Why didn't Odegaard take photographs this time? Why were they doing a stadium tour with him and the photographer celebrating? Because when they did do that, by the way, you won just as many league titles. Unbelievable. Trophyless again. I was dead right. Where I was wrong, Aston Villa, top 4. They survived. They made it. They're going to make some big signings. They're rich. They've got to keep Ollie Watkins because he's proper. I don't know why Tottenham and Arsenal haven't gone after that guy. I don't know why Chelsea haven't gone after that guy. He is the real deal. Just because he's British, he kind of has that thing of he didn't come from a big-time academy or he isn't a big-time signing from elsewhere. It's silly. He's proper. He is a proper number 9. He's a goal scorer. He got the top assist award. He's a complete modern-day forward. He should be England's number 2 striker. He really should. He's better than Ivan Toney. Get that out of here. And he doesn't gamble. So you know he's going to be around. Aston Villa, top 4. I was wrong. Where I was right, Man City win the league again. I mean, when they had Arsenal this competition, what are we talking about? We knew what time it was. 4 in a row. Congratulations, Man City. Nobody cares, but it's an incredible record. Lastly, where I was wrong, Manchester United won the FA Cup. Now, you've got to keep in mind, I was in the middle of a 48-hour gig, literally working 48 hours in a row on the mic with about 3 hours of sleep. People are saying a hero. I'm like, I mean, you're probably right, but I can't say it because I'm too humble. So I missed the FA Cup because I was working and then I had to nap and then I came back into the cycle. But Man United beat Man City in the FA Cup final. What? Listen, Erik ten Hag, 3 finals in 2 years, 2 titles. Why would you want to fire this guy? Why would you want to fire him? You've been a dumpster truck for over a decade. Keep the guy. He's clearly onto something and he's getting you to Wembley finals. Now, worst Premier League season of all time. It's a discussion to have, right? But he's in the Europa League. So what do you want? You're in Europe and you ultimately had a better season than Chelsea. What do you want from the guy? I don't get the calls for him to get sacked. Man United won the FA Cup. I was dead wrong there. That is where I was right. That is where I was wrong. Absolutely incredible. Manchester United. MKT Inspires on the socials, otherwise MKT at the MKT Show. If you'll send it electronic mail. All right, Real Madrid. Let's move on to this. Real Madrid won the Champions League for the 15th time. But you know what I've said? First of all, congrats, blah, blah, blah. You know what I've always said about the Champions League? It's a weird competition. I don't think it's the hardest competition in the world to win by a long way. I think it might be the fourth hardest competition. I think the Premier League's the hardest. I think the World Cup is the second hardest. I think the Euros is the third hardest. And then I think that it's the Champions League. I'll tell you why. You only really need to worry about three or four teams because the group stages are so skewed to top seeds. Like, you very rarely are Real Madrid going to meet, like, PSG, right? And, I mean, they did get Man City. But they're not going to get, like, PSG, Chelsea. Can't get Chelsea because they're not in the Champions League. I get it. But they're not going to get top tier. But they're not going to get Bayern Munich in the last 16. You know? Like, they'll get those teams in the semi-final. So, it's a bit of a golden highway for those, for, like, the top teams because of the coefficients. I think the Super League might be more necessary than people want to admit at that level. Now, I wouldn't want the Super League because I prefer the Premier League as a product. And I think I'm too removed from European culture. Like, some of these teams, I'm like, nah. Miss me with that. Just give me the English stuff. But if you want to know who the best in the world is, Super League's the way to do it. It's like the NFL, right? You know who you're playing the best every year. And the Super League would tell you who the best clubs are. The Champions League doesn't. It's like, it's kind of like winning the FA Cup, really. It's too much of a lottery of, like, you know, the league tells you who the best team is. Like, Man City are the best team in England, right? Cup competitions don't tell you who the best team. Like, Chelsea win the bloody, you know, Carabao Cup final with Liverpool. Neither of those two are the best. Or close. They're not even close. So cup competitions are not a true reflection of who the best is. But if you had the Super League and the 16 best European teams were in there and Real Madrid aren't playing plumbers and bakers like for 19 or for like 30 of their 38 games, then you can say, because they also get a rest. Like, La Liga is a joke now. Like, we've seen Barcelona's a pyramid scheme. So there's only one club. So it's a holiday camp. It really is a country club for Real Madrid till they play the Champions League. It's an unfair advantage. And again, whatever. Life's not fair. You know, it is what it is. It's the Premier League can have the best product. It punishes their best teams. But maybe the Super League is necessary in order for us to go, oh, this is the best team. Because I know what people are saying. Yeah, but the champions go through. Yeah, do they? Do the best teams get there? Because Bayern Munich, who are the second best team in Germany, were a whisker away from the final of the Champions League. Like, it's not like the olden days. Remember in the olden days when it was the European Cup? Only the champions went to that tournament, by the way. Only the champions. So, Super League, maybe necessary. Love to hear what people have said. Good victory, but, you know, Germany and Spain have such an advantage. And I prefer the Premier League. Everything else is a farmers league, sorry. I know for cool people that want to tell you that I don't understand football. And you know what I've realized? South Africans like Spanish football because it's closer to our football. I'm not into any of that. Like, pass the ball and move. I don't need gassy flavor in my football. Bro, can we make this thing... I don't know, sophisticated is the wrong word, but it is more sophisticated. It's like there is an objective here to score goals. I think winning is entertaining. I don't think, you know, Chincha Golova is. I just don't. Sorry. I don't care what people have to say. I'm not going to watch the Gassi games. And I know South African people love that. And it's fine because it's in our culture. And, you know, c'est la vie. I prefer European football, particularly Premier League football. Power, pace, energy. And now with the best managers, the best tactics. So, you know, Germany, France, Spain. No, thanks. No. And listen, I work with La Liga. Great guys. You know, nice. Yeah, but joke league. Come on. 15 Champions Leagues. What is it about Real Madrid in the Champions League? I think it's their thing, huh? Good for them. Good for them. Love to hear what people think. What do you think? I think Super League. Super League is the way to go. And not because Real Madrid are dominating it. I just think that's what we should do now. Like, this is getting boring. And realistically, it's like, it's the same 5 or 6 clubs every year. Do you know what I mean? It really is. So, and more it's going to be Spanish. Italy's dead because everything's match fixed there. So nobody wants to pay to own things there. And the sponsors won't go there because most of the matches are probably still fixed. So it's going to be Germany or Spain all the time. Right? Like Borussia Dortmund. Of course they're going to make the final. It's a country club until they get to the Champions League. I like Mats Hummels though. He's so funny with the Farmers League stuff. I mean, it is a Farmers League. It's a joke. Germany's a joke league. It's a two-team league. Don't let the anomaly of what Xabi Alonso has done fool anybody. Bayern Munich won 8 titles in a row. In fact, it was 10 titles in a row, wasn't it? 10 titles in a row. Gross. Not a league. Get out of here. So, Champions League is always going to be Germany, France, or not France, because Mbappe was a failure there. But it'll be Germany, Spain, right? Munich. Barcelona are obviously a pyramid scheme, so it'll be Real Madrid, Munich. I expect it to be like that for the next few years, until they do the Super League. I really do. Man City was an anomaly. Chelsea were an anomaly 3 years ago. But usually it's the continental clubs. Speaking of which, Kylian Mbappe. Let's move on to this. Kylian Mbappe. I think this guy is the biggest fraud in football. In a World Cup where he wasn't the main player, he was about the 4th or 5th best player in that team. I would go Griezmann, Conte, Matuidi, right? Those would be certainly the top three. And you'd have to argue Pogba. You would have to argue Pogba in that World Cup. It was unreal. I think Mbappe was the icing on the cake and not the cake. And now he was 19 and he gave them a little bit. He gave them the stardust, right? They were good, but he took them over the top of that pace. But he wasn't the star. Like Griezmann was clearly the star of the team. And Conte was clearly the co-pilot. And Matuidi, I mean, come on. You saw what time it was. Matuidi was unreal in that tournament. But never has somebody been given credit outside of Jurgen Klopp for doing one thing. And by the way, that was 6 years ago. 6 years ago. And then when we went to Qatar and he had to be the star player, yeah, you got to the final. Sorry, but Leo Messi at like 95 years old was better than you and won the tournament for his team. So when it was the time for him to step up, it's like, oh, you're not that guy. PSG's been a disaster. I mean, you're talking Farmers League. PSG has been a disaster. He has failed so badly there because he has failed to deliver them to the promised land. With no obstacles, by the way. And COVID fixed it for him where it was in Paris. So he literally, he was rolling out of bed into the stadium. How are PSG, by the way, FFP compliant? They got like more 90 million players than I've ever seen in my life. How are they FFP compliant? I do not understand how PSG, because they aren't even a big French club for what people must know. You will not convince me they have garnered global support in the last 5 years organically under FIFA rules and UEFA rules. If Premier League clubs can't, I'm sorry, if you're telling me the spending going on, right, at PSG with the lack of sales that have gone on and the poor income of that league, how are they earning that money legally? Do you remember they spent 120 million on Mbappe like 6 years ago? It's not possible. And I was just looking, like, Barcola, they got, what's that guy's name, Gomez, they spent like 90 million. There's that other black guy who's a striker who's 90 million. There's Ugarte, there's, who's that Portuguese guy, very good midfielder with the long shots. They've got so many, like, 40, 50, 60, 70, 90 million pound players. I'm like, how are these guys if we comply? Anyway, Kylian Mbappe has ridden that World Cup win for 6 years now. Because he has been an abject failure at PSG. Like, what has he done to deserve a Real Madrid move? Moreover, they've already got the Ballon d'Or. I think the guy who won the Ballon d'Or, the best left wing in the world. I've said for 2-3 years, Vinicius is the best left wing in the world. He's better than Mbappe because he drops. He's tactically disciplined. And he gets you just as many goals in a harder league. And he's taken his team, with the worst team, I'd argue, on paper, to the promised land twice. As the star player, by the way, at Real Madrid. And survived the racial abuse and still carried on being the best player. Twice now he has scored in the Champions League final. He's 23 years old. Mbappe's 26. Why do you need Mbappe? I don't get it. Like, you can't have too much of a good thing. We saw with the Galacticos, it just didn't work. It's very, very strange. Listen, I said it last year. If I'm Vinicius, I'm looking for a move. Because Mbappe's not a striker. He wants to play on the left. It is going to be a problem. This will only last 1 year, by the way. Because it's very clear, Mbappe is going to get the marketing. He's the European guy. He's the good-looking guy. He's the pinup for European and global football right now. You know what I mean? Like, with all due respect to Vinicius, but he's not exactly an oil painting. And we know Florentino Perez said this about Ribery, is how am I supposed to sell shirts with this face? That's why Ribery didn't go to Bayern Munich. It's a big part of the Real Madrid thing, by the way. You've got to have that look. And Mbappe looks like a ninja turtle. I mean, he's no oil painting himself. Neither am I, to be completely honest. So I'm just judging. Like, we know what good looking is. Neither Mbappe or Vinicius are oil paintings. They're not Cristiano Ronaldo. Let's just say that. You know. But you can work with Mbappe. You know, light-skinned black guy. He's what the modern age is. You know. If you're going to have your coffee, have a mocha latte. You know what I mean? I don't think in Europe they want, you know, they want milk in the coffee. Let's just say that. They want milk in the coffee. And Mbappe is that. He's the correct demographic. And he's from a European country, so he's easily plug and play. You know, France is a massive economy. He's in there with the Qataris now. He's a global figure. You know, World Cup winner. So Mbappe is going to be the star. That's going to be a problem for Vinicius. If I'm the Brazilian Association, I'm speaking to the guy saying, get yourself to the Premier League. Like, go to Man City. Like, these guys are going to leave now, right? Could you imagine Vinicius and Doku within the next 5 years? Because, by the way, Vinicius is only 23. He's turning 24 now. He'll be 24 in July. He's a month away from being 24 years old. He's 2 years younger than Mbappe. Mbappe will be 26 in December. Why are you getting him? Vinicius is better as well. That's what I don't understand. But what I do understand is the economics. And it's always about the money. It's always about the money. So this will be Vinicius' last season at Real Madrid. Next season. If he doesn't leave now. I know it sounds crazy. He could leave now. Now, who could afford him? Well, that's a different question because he will win the Ballon d'Or. So if I'm him, I stay at Real Madrid because we know you don't win the Ballon d'Or in England. Like, the only guys who've done it's Cristiano Ronaldo, and they just couldn't deny him that season. 42 goals. He got 32 goals from right wing that season. and he was playing right wing. I don't mean like Mbappe where he gets a nosebleed when he has to cross the halfway line to go to his own half. Cristiano Ronaldo under Sir Alex Ferguson was playing right midfield. You will drop. Like, Gary Neville's not having any of that either, by the way. So Ronaldo wasn't playing this hang around. In South Africa, we have a term called uglalela. It's where it's to listen, but it's also you know, uglala is to kind of sleep. So you kind of say, alonaba nine uyalalela. It means he doesn't drop back, you know, like people in Zagi used to do back in the day, for those of you old people like me, born offside. So Ronaldo wasn't doing any of that, not at Man United. And he scored 32 goals. They could not deny him. He scored 32 goals from right midfield. 32 goals in the Premier League, peak Premier League as well. Wenger, Mourinho, like that was proper Premier League. They couldn't deny him then. But we know the rule. You've got to be playing in Spain to win. You've got to play for Barcelona or Real Madrid. Otherwise, you just aren't winning the Ballon d'Or. Ask Lewandowski. Sorry. It's just the way it is. So if I'm Vinicius, I stay for another season. Just make sure I lock up the Ballon d'Or, because this season you are the best player in the world. And because Erling Haaland should have won it last year. Okay, it was Leo Messi. Like I get that. But come on. You know? There was a season where Drogba and Henry should have won World Player of the Year. But it doesn't happen. That's fine. What ifs? Stay there and then next season leave. If I'm Vinicius. That's what's got to happen. Real Madrid don't need him. They've just done double again. Without him. Economics though. Economics. Bigger picture. It's about the bigger picture. Love to hear your thoughts. Is Kylian Mbappe overrated? I don't think he's overrated. I think he's a fraud. I think it's been 6 years of relatively doing nothing. Because winning at PSG, my dead grandmother could play left wing for PSG and they'd win. I think she's been dead for like a good 25 years. You could put her casket at left mid or left wing for PSG and they'd win the league and the French Cup. So don't give me that. Don't give me his success. And if anything, how come he doesn't win top goal scorer every single season? That's what drives me insane. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. I'm sorry. That's loco, I say. That's loco. He's a fraud. I'm sorry. Kylian Mbappe is the biggest fraud going around in football. Generational talent, my backside. Good player? Absolutely. Like listen, let's not... I don't want to be a hot take guy here. Good player? Absolutely. Pace, power... Yes, all those things. But I've seen lots of... you know what he is? He's the rich man's Jadon Sancho. Because Jadon Sancho is getting credit for stuff he did 5 years ago at Borussia Dortmund. 4 years ago. Yeah, 4 or 5 years at Borussia Dortmund. Yeah, got to the big time. Mm-mm. But this is a good test, right? Let's see now. Because one of the things about Real Madrid is it's kind of like Man United. It exposes you for who you are. He was getting sensitive at PSG. Imagine the pressure at Real Madrid. Because he's been wrapped in cotton wool his whole life, eh? In France, golden boy from Monaco, straight to PSG. I mean, the president of France, Macron, phoned PSG to cancel his transfer to Real Madrid. You've got to understand what a national asset this guy is. So this is the first time now he's been thrown to the wolves, because if there's one thing about Real Madrid fans... They've seen Cristiano Ronaldo, Arjen Robben, Zinedine Zidane, Luis Figo, R9, Ronaldo, you know, Luis de Lima, Raul, Claude Makélélé. They've seen them. They've seen the very best of this. Davo Šuker. They've seen the best of previous generations and this generation. Every great footballer comes through Real Madrid. So he's got no equity there. And the Real Madrid fans do not care. Look out for those white handkerchiefs. If in a season and a half, by the way, he stems the flow of Vinicius's play and he's not delivering and they don't win the league and the Champions League next season, I do not want him thinking it's going to be a gravy train ride like he's had at PSG. Because those white handkerchiefs will come out. Your thoughts? Kylian Mbappe at MKT Inspires. Is Kylian... I think he's a fraud. Kylian Mbappe is a fraud. I'm sorry. I'm not having it. And I'll tell you what. If France don't win Euros this year, I don't ever want to hear generational talent with Kylian Mbappe again. Because he's joining a loaded team. If he does stuff at Real Madrid, I was like, oh, okay, well, they won without you. Like, the only way I can say, okay, he's that guy, is he's got to be hitting Cristiano Ronaldo numbers, and I expect like 3 Champions Leagues in a row. Like what Gareth Bale and Ronaldo did. That's generational. Like, oh, wow, you guys have separated yourself from everyone in the history of football. And he'd have to go on, right, to like four or five Champions Leagues where he's the kingpin. And then we can say, okay, he's that guy. Finish off on this. Disgusting news coming through today. Jose Mourinho has gone to Fenerbahce. He's no longer the special one. And I just want to finish off on this. You know, if you're going to do something, do it properly. And it's sad that Jose didn't get a hold of his personality and evolve with the times. But that's fine. You know, I'm struggling to evolve with the times now. And it is what it is. I'm old. But one of the things that Pep Guardiola, I thought, did really, really well was he made good decisions about when to leave. You know, one of the things about having a personality like Jose, why I identify with Jose is I'm quite similar to him. I'm not very good at being unhappy and staying. And it takes mature people to see things through until you've got a plan to go to the next place. I'm not good at that. Like, as soon as I'm unhappy, I leave. Like, you know, my mom raised me, you are not allowed to be complaining and stay. So one of my weaknesses, and it's, to be honest, I'm not working on it because I am who I am. I'm not good at, it's not going well, let's see it through. Let's smooth it out. Let's talk it out. Like, no, it's not going well, I'm out. Okay, cheers. And that is to say, Jose Mourinho would often create situations where things didn't go well and he'd just leave and then take the next job. One thing Pep did well was build his team and take them everywhere with him. So they protected him. And Mourinho's me against the world attitude applied across the board and it cost him in the end. And his star has faded. Why was he at Tottenham? Why did he ever take the job at Roma? Roma's like the fifth job you want in Italian football. It's been coming. He's no longer the special one. It's over at the elite level. You can't be going to Turkey. That's a piss take. And it's a sad way to go out. I really hate to see it. You know, Fergie didn't do this. Wenger didn't do this. Like, Mourinho shouldn't be doing this. Like, you're better than this, dude. And he's my favorite manager of all time. This makes me so sad. What a disgusting fall from grace. It's disgusting. It's not even sad. It's disgusting. And it's just about the money, right? Gross. Gross, Jose. I mean, still one of my sporting heroes, but gross. Not Turkey. Not Saudi. Like, Wenger didn't go out like that. Fergie didn't go out like that. Sir Bobby Robson didn't go out like that. Like, you should be in that class. Pep's not going to go out like that. You know what I mean? But that personality, and you know what draws me to Jose? I'm disgusted for him because of I hold him in high esteem, but I get it. I get it. Listen, if you are that personality, which I very much am, you know, is you can't tell me anything. You put people off. You do. And I have to be honest, I put people off. I know this. I know this because I've got a bit of a know-it-all personality. And if you don't want to do it my way, peace out. And that upsets people. You've got to be able to work with people. And it is one of my biggest weaknesses is I sometimes am a solo act, more often than not. Doesn't really work for continued relationships across the board. And Jose is that. Could you imagine being that guy's wife? What a handful he must be. But still, hey, listen, his wife's still with him. Maybe she's an incredibly strong woman. Who knows? You never know with these people, you know? Maybe she's just like, hey, you don't bring any of that nonsense here. Like, I run this household. You shut your mouth. You know? You're not the manager around here. You're my partner. Shut the hell up and bring the groceries and or whatever Jose has to do at home. I don't know what's going on. I mean, listen, Nick Saban's wife apparently she has him doing chores from what he's saying on his speeches. So, Jose Mourinho, huh? Gross. But Turkey, gross. Ugh. I mean, Turkey the meat, great. Turkey the country, horrendous. Turkey the football, in the dumps. Worse than horrendous. Below horrendous. Atrocious. In the mud, cuz, as the youth say. You know, when the youth are youthing, they say, you're in the mud, cuz. Jose Mourinho. In the mud. Hope you have the greatest week of your lives, whatever you're doing. TBD, I will communicate more about what's happening with the show. The next time we do video, so we won't do video now until we have the studio locked. So we'll go audio for a while and I will let you know when we go video full time, because the next time we go video, we're not stop starting. We should have been in a studio this week, basically, or last week. Like when we came back from George, the studio should have been ready after some boxing matches, but it's not. So once again, apologies for sporadic content, but we are trying to get the production consistent, because what I don't want to do, to be completely honest, I don't want to go into next season. I don't want to start the Euros, because we've got some commitments from people for the Euros. I don't want to start the Euros stop-start. So we need to find a space before the Euros start, and then that must be our space. And then you will get consistent 5 days a week, at least, content. Look out for some TikTok stuff throughout the Euros, the Olympics. What else? I think those are the two for now. Look out for some cool announcements, chatting to some people in and around those two, but in particular the Olympics. Look out for that. I'll keep you updated with when I'm coming, if you stay in Paris, otherwise when we're going. Look out for that content. But Euros, we've got some cool stuff. Got some cool stuff. Over the next week and a bit, I'll start releasing some Euros stuff. It'll be on TikTok mostly, but I'll release it obviously across the board. And we're going to have a good time. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the MKT Show. My name is MKT. And for now, I am the hell out of here.